Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns over the air and online at koacountry1077.com and at lava1053.com. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here every Sunday, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country 107.7 FM and 8 a.m. Lava 105.3 FM. And then we post these interviews as podcasts online, lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Today we're completing our discussion about a potential Mauna Loa eruption with Hawaii County Civil Defense Director Talmadge Magno, a few words from Tina Neal, the scientist in charge at Hawaiian Volcano Observatory. That's where the scientists are who monitor the volcanoes. And we'll finish up with a discussion with Cindy Orlando, who is the superintendent of Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. We recorded the interview with Talmadge Magno and Tina Neal on January 4th, prior to the January 13th false missile alert. We recorded our conversation with Cindy Orlando last Sunday, the day after the false missile alert, but before yesterday's complete shutdown of Hawaii Volcanoes National Park due to the federal government shutdown. Part one of the interview with the scientists is online as a podcast, and I recommend you listen to it to hear more from geologist Frank Truesdale, geologist Janet Babb, and chief scientist Tina Neal. I have questions for him about filling vacant leadership positions, about the upcoming budget, and more, but I know what he really wants to talk about is emergency preparedness, including last Saturday's false missile alert. Although scientists tell us an eruption of Mauna Loa is not imminent, Mauna Loa has been restless for the last couple of years, so they want us to maintain a focus. But note, in our first interview, they said that traditionally Mauna Loa will give us some months of increased activity, even more than now, and increased summit deformation. So there will be warning before it gets to the last minute. Let's get to our conversation with Talmadge Magno of Hawaii County Civil Defense. I think it's really important that we understand how Hawaii County Civil Defense is looking at this. The Mauna Loa eruption in 1950 took only 3 hours for the fast-moving lava to get from the top of the mountain to the ocean. And at that time, the population of this island was around 55,000. Today, it's closer to 200,000, plus many more tourists. And while for many other kinds of emergencies, such as earthquakes or tsunami or hurricane, often we may need to evacuate and go to a county gym or other shelter, but generally most folks can return home within a day or so. But a lava flow may not permit that. It could be far more destructive and require people to be out of their homes for a much longer time or even for the foreseeable future. So that's where we turn to Talmadge Magno, Hawaii County Civil Defense. So the first question I have for you, Talmadge, is in general, as an overview, what can folks expect from Hawaii County Civil Defense relative to a Mauna Loa eruption, and what should folks be prepared to do on their own?
That's a pretty lengthy question. We've taken steps already working with HVO and our partners to start the planning, and we kind of take it along the lines of preparedness for all hazards. So according to that, you know, we make sure the communities are addressing what they can do. We're doing our monitoring, working with the experts, trying to stay ahead of any potential hazards, and then make sure our planning's in place. We've had meetings with our departments to give them a heads up. We've pushed it up all the way to state civil defense or state emergency management, including FEMA. They're aware of this. And so the public can just expect us to, keep monitoring with the experts, the status of Mauna Loa, as well as the same thing we do with the National Weather Service, whatever hazards might potentially hit our island.
Of course, I think a lava flow is way unusual for almost anything else. What kind of guidance are you planning to give to community members as to how they should be preparing specifically for a lava flow?
The purpose of these community meetings that we're going to participate in along with HVO is partly to get that message out. As I said, the preparedness package, at least 14 days supplies, if you can do it, to sustain yourself, until help can come in. But we'll be planning more specifically according to what areas might be impacted.
Will you be giving specific guidance on whether people should be prepared to evacuate, for example?
Well, that's part of the 14-day supply. So If you need to evacuate, yeah, we'll address it, because the significance of Mauna Loa, as was stated earlier, you know, could be so rapid that you could just grab a purse. So we need to be, you know, take that into consideration. I know if you're in zone one, you basically need to be able to be self-evacuate, because there's a potential that an eruption could happen before any notification is out. So it could be that quick.
Will you be advising people to do things like actually move furniture out of their house? I mean, this is a very different eruption potential than was Kilauea, where people had a lot of time to see the lava coming and they actually could do that kind of thing. Do you think that that's within Civil Defense's bailiwick to tell folks they should consider actually packing up their belongings and leaving?
You know, I know in the past events, Kalapana, maybe even Pahoa, stuff like that was done. And it's usually based upon a person's own decision. When we give the order to evacuate, you know, it'll be an official order.
If an eruption is imminent, how will Civil Defense notify the public?
Well, that word, you know, like, it kind of falls back onto how fast things ramp up. If we've got time, as it escalates, through our more, less intrusive products, we'll get information out. Mass notification, using the media, just to keep people appraised of what the situation is.
If we get down to the point, as Frank had mentioned, where we might have an hour's notice, or even less, specifically, what tools will be used to let people know that an eruption is coming and they should take action?
Again, that's, you know, the products that we use in place right now. And I think, you know, most of the citizens are aware of them, or, you know, are affected by them. So you've got the usual siren system, which basically, you know, has been at the forefront of media recently with a new the attack signal. But anyway, you know, the steady tone would be activated in the place of a lava flow or eruption. And what that is telling you is basically to turn on your radio or turn on, you know, your TV to get alerts as to what's going on. So we'd possibly use a siren system. We've got our mass notification blackboard system, which if you've signed up for it, and also the police department, Hawaii Police Department, has their NICSL that you sign up for, those will be available for us to put messages out. The integrated public alert warning system, which is a FEMA-managed system, could put messages out on your TV, on your radios, but it also enables us to ping all the cell sites, the cell towers in a particular area. That'll activate a message on everybody's cell phones. And, you know, the catch-all for everything is, you know, especially some of these remote communities, we'll send out police, fire, you know, government staff, some maybe even our volunteer groups to notify people door-to-door.
You know, the thing about the sirens, most of the tsunami sirens are a little bit lower on the island, and a lot of the communities we're talking about potentially being affected are up high and would not hear those sirens. And it just so happens with the terrain of our island, a lot of those communities also don't have much in the way of radio service. But for those who, so I'm thinking that it's good there's going to be other options out there. What specific kind of message would go out, say, to people's cell phones? And would this go to everybody's cell phones?
It potentially could go to everybody's cell phones, or we could just pick a specific area. You know, all depends on the situation. You know, if we want to alert the whole island that Mauna Loa has erupted, you know, maybe, you know, we could what if it till, well, you know, there's a lot of scenarios. So, but from, you know, just getting a general message out to specific, you know, you need to evacuate now to a small group.
So the message could actually say, and might actually say, Mauna Loa is erupting. You live in the hazard area. Evacuate now. Is that what it might say?
Yeah, potentially. Yes, it has that capability to do that.
You mentioned that this is a system that works through FEMA.
Yes, we would have that system. We'd have to go through state emergency management to initiate that signal.
How much time are we talking between the time you know it needs to be activated and it goes through state emergency management and then goes to FEMA and then goes to the cell towers and gets to the user? How much time is that going to take? Do you know?
Good question.
Okay. Not something that we've planned yet. It sounds like, you know, I hate to consider government bureaucracy as an issue, but it sure sounds like we could run into government bureaucracy, particularly if an eruption were to happen in the middle of the night.
Yeah. But, you know, that system is being used right now. So people mostly get it from National Weather Service alerts, flash flood and so forth. And so it's going out timely when the National Weather Service does it. Unfortunately, there's no capability to test this system, so we can't get on it and just test it. It's got to be for an actual activation. Yeah.
Do we have to sign up for the National Weather Service alerts you're talking about?
No, it's not a sign-up one. Cell phones are, when they're manufactured, they come with this capability. Unless you turn off that alert on it, I think you'll see like an amber alert notification in your notification section. So that's on your phone array, it's capable. If you haven't turned it off, everybody's phone will get pinged.
Okay, so if we have that potential, we should actually look at our cell phones now, make sure that we have allowed those alerts, because this could be important. Right now, if there is a flash flood or something, I know that State Emergency Management and maybe Hawaii County Civil Defense has the ability to immediately put a message up on TV stations and grab the programming and ditto for radio. Would you be able to activate that here from Hawaii County Civil Defense?
We have, capabilities through Naleo as far as getting on the TVs and our notifications through the radio stations. We have to produce a recorded message and put it through the radio stations.
But there are messages that automatically come on the not just on Naleo, but on all the commercial broadcast stations, and in fact, all the stations that, you know, a loud, annoying tone that says, National Weather Service, flood alert, turn around, don't drown. Can you create that kind of message and activate that?
That would have to go through the state. Yeah, that's part of the integrated system.
Okay. And then I would say the same thing probably holds true for radio stations, because I know that the automatic voice comes on to radio stations from time to time, but that's not through you, that's through the state?
Yes, through the state. Like the most certain one that you hear is every month during the siren test.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yes.
But Hawaii County does not activate that. That goes through the state, so you would tell the state. And is the state emergency management staffed 24/7?
Yes, so the state is staffed 24/7. They are actually the state warning point. They're 24/7. They monitor all the, you know, the experts that are tracking volcanoes, tsunami, earthquakes. And so they're the first notification point in the state. Then from that point, it gets dispersed to the county warning points, which are all the police dispatches throughout the state.
Do we have the capability here on this island, in this state, for reverse 911? And I mention that because I happened to be in California when they had the fires in Northern California, and they had a lot of discussion about reverse 911, which they did have. But do we have that here, and is that something you could utilize, where automatically you would be able to call everybody via 911?
We do not have that capability at this time. I understand that the integrated system, you know, was a capability that was not used as well in California. It was not, activated. So that's something that we look to use here.
Meaning that we're trying to put in reverse 911 and then use it?
No, the integrated system. I'm not sure what the status of a reverse 911 is.
Okay. So the integrated system is what exactly? Is that what you've just described to me with?
Yeah, right. The integrated system is where the messages are put out through the state emergency warning point for radios, TV, and the cell phones.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues, and I'm Sherry Bracken, your host and producer. It's interesting listening to this discussion with Talmadge Magno of Hawaii County Civil Defense, which was recorded on January 4th prior to last Saturday's false missile alert, where I think we learned a whole lot about what the capabilities of Hawaii State Emergency Management are, or are not, and also what the capabilities for Hawaii County Civil Defense are, because I have since learned that Hawaii County Civil Defense does have the capability to use the system that automatically interrupts radio stations with a message that they put on, regardless of whether somebody is at the radio station to load the message into the computer. So there's a lot that we have to learn about how Hawaii County and Hawaii State will respond in emergencies. And next Sunday morning, my guest will be Harry Kim, although I do want to ask him some mayor-related questions. I know he really wants to talk about emergency management, and so we will. So please join me next Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, 8 a.m. Lava 105.3 FM, or the podcast, lava1053.com, or koacountry1077.com. Let's get back to our discussion with Talmadge Magno. We'll also hear from Tina Neal, Chief Scientist at Hawaiian Volcano Observatory, and Cindy Orlando of Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. If evacuation is necessary, what will civil defense offer to the public, and what will the public need to be prepared to do on their own? And when I ask that, I'm saying, will you provide a place for people to go? Will you assist people in getting out of their homes? What exactly will civil defense and county government do versus what the people are going to need to be prepared to do for themselves?
Well, we'll definitely get the message out to them, and we'll be able to support them, you know, as much as we can. We'll work alongside American Red Cross to open up shelters. But just as we have in, you know, all the previous flows throughout the county government will be there and will assist the people.
Of course, I'm hearing from HVO that this Mauna Loa potential eruption could be a lot more fast-moving, a lot more impressive than our gently flowing Kilauea flow, as I call it. So I think it'll be certainly a big deal. Now, if the eruption is going towards a populated area, are the police and first responders on board? Because it sounds from what you said like they would definitely be called in to help manage a major evacuation. So tell me again, I think you said you're already working with county agencies, but just tell me again to make sure folks know what they can expect from other county agencies besides civil defense.
Yeah, so early on, HVO presented the update to the county department heads about the status of Mauna Loa. And so we've met at that point and continue to meet. And so we'll just keep that activity level going so that we're ready, depending on what scenario is given to us.
If an eruption cuts a major highway or saddle road, for example, in one, two, or three places, what is Hawaii County thinking about to be sure the county keeps functioning and going, to try to ensure that businesses are able to keep functioning, to try to ensure that people can get to their work and that the county's economy keeps moving? Just talk about what plans you're making, which I presume would be with Public Works, to get something to happen, or maybe even Army Corps of Engineers. Help us understand the planning for that aspect, which is restoral.
Right. So we're fortunate that the saddle road is in right now. And so if, you know, other areas of the island are impacted, the saddle road can, you know, take up much of the commerce that needs to go across island. If saddle road is impacted, then we still got the other roads that could do that. You know, Mauna Loa flows are so immense that, you know, I'm not sure that the considerations that they looked at for Kilauea flows could apply. So, you know, we'd have to wait and see to see, you know, what the volcano is going to do.
Obviously, Mauna Loa cut the Kona Side Highway when it had the 1950 lava flow, and at some point that road got restored. Any idea how long it took the county to get that road functioning again?
I don't, but you know, my experience in Hawaii volcanoes, when chain of craters got cut off, or even some of the interior roads, you know, once the lava cools, or it doesn't even have to be totally cool, the dozers can go in there and clean that stuff off, and I think sometimes the asphalt was still intact. You know, so it could be, it all depends on what the activity of the flow is doing.
As I mentioned, during the 2014 and following Pahoa lava flow, Hawaii County Civil Defense and Hawaiian Volcano Observatory got major praise for their ongoing community outreach, for the community meetings, for telling people what was going on, and making sure people were informed and had access to the experts. Should we get to the point where Mauna Loa is erupting, what's your thinking on how you plan to handle community outreach?
Well, we definitely would want to go to, you know, the potentially affected communities to keep them appraised of what's going on. So, you know, we'll use that face-to-face venue or the, you know, different media outlets that we have. But we think it's important, and I know the public now, nowadays, they want to be kept appraised of what's going on, so I think that's part of our protocol.
This may not be a civil defense question, but I'm getting a sense from Hawaiian Volcano Observatory, it's probably a when Mauna Loa erupts, not an if, but if it erupts, not just will people on this island be impacted, but I believe there'll be a major influx of scientists who want to study it, of journalists who want to cover it. Man, we sure saw that in the 2014 Pahoa lava flow. People came from all over to want to tell the story. There'll be tourists. We'll be seeing more than we're even seeing now. Have you thought about a plan, or is that a civil defense responsibility as to how to manage a giant influx of people to this island?
Well, it is part of our responsibility. Any kind of management with those activities definitely fall under safety is going to be the number one concern. And so, you know, access as well, but with all the activities, we're going to be thinking about safety. So we understand that there's going to be the demand for access, whether it's cultural, you know, tourism, research. We're just going to have to somehow, within the management of that incident, work that through.
I understand that during this holiday season, Hawaii Volcanoes National Park actually reached an all-time high of 13,000 visitors on one day, and that could be low compared to what we might see in the future. Would you give consideration to shutting down the park, to stopping access to areas of the island if you're not a resident? Have you thought about that kind of situation?
What I've thought about is similar to what we have set up for like tsunami evacuations or hurricane evacuations. We work with our different departments as far as setting up barricades, roadblocks, and so forth. We'd have to look at whatever the situation is, what our objectives are, and then, you know, work out the scenario with the roadways and trying to evacuate people or whatever we got to do. But that all comes under the management of the incident.
You know, Hawaii County has budget issues, and my guess is if this occurs that the budget is just going to go way out of whack. Have you and the mayor talked about the budget impact and where the money will come from to cover what clearly will be huge additional expenses?
Well, we have talked both with the mayor and the finance department, and, you know, we have contingency funds, emergency funds, that, you know, if we get to that level, that's what we'll be tapping.
Okay, hopefully our taxes won't go up, but never know. What else, Talmadge Magno, would you like to add, things that I haven't asked about a potential Mauna Loa eruption?
Well, it all goes back to the family preparedness, communities, people being aware of what's going on. You know, just don't go about life blindly. You know, you got to be cognizant of, you live on an active volcano, we have many hazards in this island, you've got to be prepared.
Tina Neal, scientist in charge at Hawaiian Volcano Observatory, what would you like to say in closing, things that we should know about Mauna Loa or that you want us to know?
I would just like to point out that, as you have seen through the course of this interview, preparing for a Mauna Loa eruption is a complex process and requires the input and participation of a number of government agencies at the county, state, federal level. And we are all participating at this time in these kinds of planning discussions to try to make sure we're all properly poised to do the right thing in a very timely fashion. Those discussions are ongoing, and we will continue as long as we need to get ready for the next volcanic crisis on the island.
I know we've already talked about the Hawaiian Volcano Observatory website, but I do want to note that during the Pahoa lava flow, it was updated constantly. It was a fabulous resource. So even if people did not get to the community meetings, there was lots of information and really nothing held back. So I know it's just one more thing that you guys do regularly, but it's appreciated. Thank you for that.
Yes, well, I'm glad to hear that. HVO staff put a lot of sweat and blood into getting information out as quickly as possible and consistently as possible. Undoubtedly, during a Mauna Loa eruption, we will be bringing in some help because our folks will be very busy and focused on what's going on the ground and turning that information around into helpful information for both our interagency partners and the public. And we will need some help with that.
And that was the first part of today's discussion about Mauna Loa, primarily with Talmadge Magno of Hawaii County Civil Defense, but also with Tina Neal, the scientist in charge at Hawaiian Volcano Observatory. And now we turn to Cindy Orlando, who is the superintendent of Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. Mauna Loa makes up more than half the land mass of Hawaii Island, but the summit of Mauna Loa is inside Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. So no matter where Mauna Loa erupts, when it erupts, and it's not imminent, it will affect Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. Even more people will be drawn there, and they'll be visiting scientists and more. We talked with Cindy Orlando last Sunday. That was after last Saturday's false alarm alert on an incoming missile, but it was before yesterday's decision that Cindy made to close Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. Although other national parks in the state, including Pearl Harbor, have remained open, the official statement I got from their spokesperson yesterday was that because Kilauea and Pu'u'o'o Vent are erupting, they closed the park because of visitor safety. But they said they did make the decision to leave Highway 11, which does go through the park, open so we can still get around the island on the south. Meanwhile, let's get to Cindy Orlando. We spoke with her last Sunday by telephone.
Aloha, Sherry.
Hey, thanks for taking time to talk with us. This is really an important part of our discussion about Mauna Loa. And although scientists stress that an eruption is not imminent, they are preparing. And I know Hawaii Volcanoes National Park is also preparing for a potential Mauna Loa eruption. So give us an idea about how you're preparing at this point.
Well, you know, for Hawaii Volcanoes, advanced planning is really key. We have scenario meetings on a regular basis, and we have developed right now a draft ballistic missile attack plan. Now, I'm not real keen on that title, and we'll keep working on that, but that's basically, in essence, what it addresses. We also meet regularly with Hawaii County Civil Defense and USGS to discuss how we will work together to achieve not only our agency missions, but also keep our public safe. You know, Hawaii Volcanoes is also a model in the world globally for managing visitation on an active volcano. So we also meet with stakeholders and other emergency management groups from around the world. Most recently, we had meetings with the National Disaster Management Agencies from South Korea, China, and Macau to sit down and share our best practices of our volcanic response actions. So along with our partners at Hawaii County Civil Defense and USGS, we do have these discussions, we do talk to each other, and we do share best practices.
Cindy, you mentioned in that response that you have a ballistic missile defense plan. What about for Mauna Loa volcano specifically? Are you working on plans in the event that there is a Mauna Loa eruption, which whether or not the lava stays inside the park or isn't inside the park, you're going to see that eruption from many, many points inside Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. So what's your thinking about Mauna Loa specifically?
Well, you know, we have been managing eruptions for over 100 years at Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. We've dealt with eruptions in a volcanic landscape that attracts millions of people from around the world. 101 years ago, in 1916, when the park was established, we had two eruptions, one at Mauna Loa and one at Halema'uma'u. And fast forward 101 years, and we could see that again. So we address our volcanic eruptions historically the same way. Our infrastructure is portable in some cases. It can be moved when lava is flowing towards it. But the other thing that folks need to remember is that as an active volcano, we have a limited developed footprint, and there's not a lot of leeway for us to move things around. So we have to evaluate the risk, we have to look at where the lava might be flowing and make those adjustments accordingly. A Mauna Loa response plan is very similar to how we react and respond every day to the existing volcanic eruptions at Halema'uma'u and at Pu'u'o'o.
Hawaii Volcanoes National Park is already the most visited tourist attraction in the state. In fact, Cindy, I understand that during this most recent Christmas, New Year's holiday season, Hawaii Volcanoes National Park actually had 13,000 visitors in one day. Was that a record high?
Yes, it was. Holiday season is our busiest historically, unless, of course, there was a major eruptive activity, such as in May of 2015 when lava reached and flowed over the rim. Today, we're down at about 125 feet below. But as a land manager, these types of numbers always pose challenges. As I mentioned, we're an active volcano with a limited developed footprint, so visitors really should expect some wait time due to crowds, either to get in the gate, to park their cars, to use the restroom, or to view the summit glow. But, you know, the totality of the experience is really life-changing, and our park rangers welcome with aloha, and I have never received a complaint about lack of parking.
I know, Cindy, that you always have to manage tons of traffic. Is there anything special you're thinking about as a management plan if Mauna Loa erupts and you have to deal with even greater crowds than you have on normal days and on these record days?
Yeah, you know, that's going to be tricky because we don't know where the lava is going to go. Visitors, of course, will be alerted through our website and our official social media channels. But we also have other National Park Service units on the island that could be impacted, again, dependent on where the eruption occurs and how it flows. So we will, again, evaluate the necessity to evacuate or relocate visitors and enact any closures that are necessary. And then, of course, to the degree that we have to assist or provide support to other affected parks, we will do that. Primarily, folks are going to want to look at lava. And so if safe viewing of the flows are possible, we will provide safe access. But remember, it may also flow outside of the park, and our jurisdiction ends at the park boundary. We would, of course, support civil defense efforts to the degree possible if they are developing lava viewing areas. The whole staging area could end up in Kau as well. So there may be very little activity on the Kilauea side.
There are people who, even during a really busy time, must get into the park. Your own employees, Hawaiian Volcano Observatory scientists, staffers at Kilauea Military Camp and Volcano House. But in addition, during that time, if Mauna Loa erupts, they'll be also visiting scientists, and there will be journalists who need access. Have you been considering any plan on how to ensure that these folks can get into the park in a timely fashion and don't have to wait behind 100 cars?
Yeah, we do. We have other options for access for designated staff. And, of course, we'll be establishing a command center, and that will include a media center as well. So there'll be a lot of activity. We operate typically under incident command, and public information is critical to getting that correct messages out and the safety messages out. Again, the center of activity may end up in Kau, as opposed to on Kilauea. And to the degree that our facilities at Kahuku could support such a command center, or if the lava is threatening Kahuku, which is, of course, the Southwest Rift Zone, we may be looking at other areas in Kau. The lava could also flow towards South Kona. So we operate under a flexible management policy, and we go with the flow.
Is that intended to be a pun, Cindy Orlando?
That was intended to be a pun. And then one more thing in the air, you know, as the land manager, one of the very first things we'll be doing based on guidance and information from USGS is reaching out to the Federal Aviation Administration and requesting temporary flight restrictions. And there will be areas marked out which will be restricted for all activity in the air other than USGS.
Oh, that's really good.
And Park Service to the degree that it's needed, or civil defense.
Oh, that's good, though, because that definitely can be an issue. And we frankly need the park people, the scientists, civil defense. We need them to be able to get a good look at it.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, there's no doubt about it. So that's one of the first things that gets done. As soon as USGS has their coordinates down, we're on the phone to FAA. And that's that decision is made back in Washington, D.C., by the way.
Not by you? How do they know what's going on if not?
We tell them. We call them and tell them. And, you know, we have two temporary flight restrictions in place right now above Halema'uma'u and down at the coast.
Anything else you'd like to add that listeners should know about Hawaii Volcanoes National Park and preparation for a potential Mauna Loa lava flow?
Well, you know, I like to say that history is written in lava at Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. As I mentioned earlier, over 100 years now, we have dealt with eruptions that have attracted millions of people from around the world. We serve them well. We have a professionally trained staff and a strong sense of here today and lava tomorrow. So we look forward to hosting visitors and sharing this incredible story with them.
Great. Thank you so much, Cindy Orlando, for taking time to share everything with us. Aloha.
Aloha, Sherry.
And a reminder, I recorded Cindy Orlando last Sunday, and as of yesterday, Hawaii Volcanoes National Park was shut down because of the government shutdown. Hopefully, it's fixed by the time you hear this on the radio. This is Island Issues, and I'm Sherry Bracken, your host and producer. I'll see you next Sunday morning with Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim for another Island Issues. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahoi ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us, info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.